Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the Season Keepers, the show where the only two people we recommend keeping for the season is us. My name is Matt, aka Clean Sheet Wipeout.
And my name's James, aka FPL Drug.
How you doing, mate?
I'm good, thank you.
Been a busy old week, and it's only fucking Tuesday. I am shattered, but that's just living with a dog and a missus that's studying nursing, so all fun and games.
His dog has diarrhea for the listeners.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, one for the listeners. The other night, I mean, if you've got a puppy with diarrhea, good luck, because I was up every hour on the hour for about 2 days running. So, yeah, they say it prepares you for having a child. In my opinion, it bloody well does. Stick to cats, folks. Yeah, enough about dogs and cats. We're obviously an FPL podcast. I think it's right that we probably talk about the game week gone by, mate. And first things first, the Friday night game was Newcastle 1, Leeds 1.
Yeah, it was an interesting game. Good goal from Rafinha.
Okay.
Could have scored. I mean, we say this every time he plays. Like, could have got more points.
Yeah, the Rafinha goal was quite amusing, I thought, because obviously he whips it in, doesn't he? And then Rodrigo
kind of, yeah, dummy, yeah,
jumps out the way, doesn't he? Dummies it, and it just completely does Darlow. And at that point, I was buzzing, you know, happy I've got Rafinha, especially after all the talk pre-game about it being, you know, Harrison's out with COVID, Rafinha's injured. And I mean, in fairness, Rafinha did have strap into his thigh and then was subbed early. So there might have been some merit in those injury talks. But thankfully for us, he at least played, what, 63 minutes, something like that? So
got, yeah, past, I think a lot of us were waiting on that news in the community before sort of locking in their team.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it is a bit unfortunate that he seems to have got a knock again.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, if Rafinha hadn't turned up, I would have, you know, the way things played out, I would have had Livramento come off me bench for 5 points. So it would have been all right. But I thought Leeds were impressive to start with. And then Newcastle really grew into the game. And obviously, it was a game that Bruce had spoke about beforehand. Newcastle fans were likely going to make a bit of noise in the ground about the way things have been going, how they aren't happy. And obviously we've had that Newcastle podcast, and it was deemed this Leeds game could be a bit of a walkover, but I thought Newcastle played particularly well. And obviously Saint-Maximin was a constant threat up top for Newcastle against that Leeds back line. Obviously it saw Ayling go off injured towards the end, and Leeds are really struggling for centre-backs, and I think Saint-Maximin really made the most of that.
Yeah, he took full advantage. Such a dangerous player. I mean, I think he's risen in price again. He's always been like an exciting player, like kind of like Traore, but he's actually
better
delivering. He's putting the ball in the back of the net, which is what you need in FPL, because you don't get points if they don't score. But yeah, I think it was a really good point for Newcastle. So I can understand them booing at the end and saying Bruce out, but I think it wasn't a bad performance from them.
Yeah, I don't think it was a bad performance at all. I mean, it was end to end, which it was actually a really
great
enjoyable
game.
Yeah, and I mean, Darlow made 9 saves, Meslier made 6. It just shows how frantic it was. And at one point, you thought, you know, Leeds could have gone 2 or 3 up within the space of about 5 minutes, you know, had they taken their chances. But yeah, Newcastle definitely held their own, and I thought it was slightly undeserved, you know, the booing towards the end there. It's still so clear that I don't think Bruce is the one managing that team. But, you know, if they're taking instruction from someone, then, you know, long may that continue. I just don't think tactically Bruce is the one that puts the word across, does he?
Yeah, I mean, they're saying like he was the second person to shake Bielsa's hand after the game.
Yeah.
Like the assistant went over, shook his hand first.
Yeah.
But
it's not really how it should
be. I'd feel a bit belittled or undermined if I was him. But I think he's just low on confidence.
Yeah.
I think he needs the wins to try and get the fans back on side. But I think it's going to be a very tough. They'd have to do very well to get the fans back on side.
They do, yeah. And just hopefully for Newcastle fans, obviously they've got a pretty good run coming up. They really have to make the most of it, because points are going to be difficult to get. I genuinely believe Newcastle are a big enough club to stay in the Premier League, but there may come a point this season where there's a bit of a change of management.
Definitely.
Right, moving on then to the Saturday games, and first things first, it was Wolves nil, Brentford two.
I'm not happy with this one. Taking Tony out for a hit.
Oh,
It's
James. Oh,
pretty
James.
painful. Yeah, a goal, an assist,
Three bonus.
three bonus points. So yeah, it would have been better off just not touching my team.
Yeah, 100%.
But the logic was there. Tough set of fixtures. I mean, after this game, they've got
Yeah.
Liverpool at home, West Ham away, Chelsea at home, Leicester at home. It's a terrible run. So
It's not pretty.
no, that's what put me off, and that's what made me get rid.
But to be fair,
But
he's a
they played
talisman,
well.
isn't he? He's a talisman at the end of the day. Takes their pens. Hasn't missed a penalty for Brentford, I don't believe. And if you do hold him from now, I think he's going to maintain value now that he obviously got those returns. Looking at game week 10, 11, and 12, you're going to really want Tony. You know, Burnley, Norwich, and Newcastle. Three very targetable games for what has been a very good Brentford start. They've what, 8 points so far? Can't really complain about that. And I think both Tony and Mbeumo have been particularly impressive from the start. And defensively, they look quite solid as well. Wolves really just struggled to break them down at all. Baptiste, I thought at one point had maybe thrown it away for Brentford. He was just a fucking idiot getting sent off. You know, two bookable offences. He's about to be substituted, and yeah, goes and makes a silly tackle in a position which he didn't really need to make it. Just let your man run and then gets himself sent off. But I thought Brentford really handled Wolves particularly well, especially when they went down to 10 men.
Yeah, they did, and I think they're a lot better at the back than I expected
Yeah.
with them coming up to the Premier League. Obviously, it's a big step up, but they've done okay. And away at Wolves is it's not easy. And yeah, Tony, at 6.3 million, it's kind of wouldn't surprise me to see people getting back on him or just buying him if they don't own him.
Agreed, yeah. Yeah, particularly because he obviously went through that dry spell. You know, I say dry spell, he got a goal against Villa, and I thought he played well in the first few games, but yeah, people started to sell because you know, his price, they could move on to other places. 6.3 million for Tony, I think, is a bit of a bargain. And after these four fixtures, if I need to look for a cheaper striker, I think he'll probably be one that I go to.
Yeah, I didn't actually want to get rid of him. It was just because you can only have three strikers. I had Ronaldo, I wanted Lukaku, and I wasn't going to get rid of Bamford for his fixture run.
Yeah.
So he was the one I had to get rid of.
Yeah, it's a tough decision, and obviously swings and roundabouts in FPL, isn't it? Sometimes they go
It
for you,
is.
sometimes they go against. Wolves, on the other hand, I think they were poor. Both going forwards, you know, that there was the moment where Jimenez basically threw off his head guard. I think he's becoming incredibly frustrated in the first five games. And I think the Wolves manager Lager even said at the end that he doesn't particularly enjoy playing with the head restraint. But I think he has to. Like, surely there's a stipulation there. Like, obviously we've seen with Petr Cech previously. There must be a stipulation from the Premier League that he has to continue with it.
I don't know. I thought it might be just a player's choice.
We'll have to find out. It'll be interesting to see if he plays with it at the weekend, because I think, yeah, he made one point where he went out for a header, and obviously the movement or the motion of the ball when you're heading with the headband rather than, you know, without it, might be slightly different. And for Jimenez, it's probably frustrating that he's trying to put the ball to a certain place. If it comes off of that head restraint kind of at a slightly different angle, it may well affect the impact of where that ball ends up. And obviously I've never played the ball myself, but it must feel a little bit strange.
Yeah, and even if it like actually physically doesn't impede him, I think psychologically
Yeah.
it may well do.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, the psychological factors were clear to see on TV there, where he threw it to the floor. But a lot of people went Wolves defensively, and I think their fixtures, they still look pretty good, but they weren't great against Brentford, and it's not a good sign when the likes of, you know, Semedo didn't look particularly impressive, and a lot of people went with him.
No, it makes me glad I didn't go there in this game.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've still got the fixtures to come.
They do, yeah. Right, moving on then to a game which Arsenal needed to win, tough game away from home, and they did so. It was Burnley 0, Arsenal 1.
Yeah, another win for Arsenal, which is great news for them. I've actually called this one on Super Six,
nice.
A 1-0 win. I just fancied a tight win for Arsenal. Not a return for Aubameyang, but a return for Odegaard and an assist for Saka. Odegaard's not one that really anyone's spoken about, but he's now played 3 of the last 4. And he's obviously scored, and he's only, what, 5.5 million selected by 2% of the game?
Yep. It's not bad.
Maybe we should start talking about
him. I know. It was an interesting Arsenal lineup to see Smith Rowe, Odegaard, and Saka all in the same team. And I think it worked. Obviously, a bit of youth, a bit of exuberance in there. And they kind of need it. And obviously, another player that's come in, Aaron Ramsdale, another start, another clean sheet. Surely the shirt is his.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a couple of bonus in there as well. And he's, what, 4.5 million for an Arsenal goalkeeper? It's pretty good. I mean, if Sanchez wasn't doing as well as he is, sort of picking up points, then that's one to go for.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, for me, I'm in two minds as to whether a wild card in game week 7. If Ramsdale plays in this Tottenham fixture, then I think that's it. Like, he's number one for now. From game week 7, Arsenal's run Brighton, Palace, Villa, Leicester, Watford, obviously Liverpool, but then Newcastle. It's not bad. So if you are looking to have a 4.5 goalkeeper, Ramsdale might be one that you take into consideration over the likes of, say, Raya, Sanchez. What would you think to that?
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely worth considering. The only concern would Leno occasionally pop back into the team?
Yeah, it's a risk. But I think, yeah, that Tottenham game is going to be telling, because obviously it's probably the biggest game for Arsenal this season, isn't it? You know, the North London Derby. If Ramsdale starts that, then I think that's real intent from Arteta. Like, right, this is your shirt. You perform well in the 2-3 games that we've given you opportunity. You know, it's down to you to make howlers before Leno gets his position back. So it's certainly one that I'm going to keep an eye on. And I guess the other player that I want to mention briefly for Arsenal is Tomiyasu. Obviously, another start for him, another clean sheet. Looked particularly impressive. And again, another one of those Arsenal players that very kind of underpriced, in my opinion, at 4.5 million. And then, yeah, 1.3% in the bank. Same, you've got Ben White, you know, similar 4.4. I think these Arsenal players, for those that are wildcarding in the next couple of weeks, surely have to be in consideration. And if they are, defensively, there are options, you know, that are affordable. Not only are they there, but, you know, they don't cost a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And Ben White even picked up a bonus point. So to get that for 4.4 million is pretty appealing.
Yeah, I can't complain. Ben White's done me some huge favours the last couple of weeks. All right, moving on then to a game that, you know, there's some news at the start of the game that Trent was missing. Turns out he had the shits. But it didn't really matter. It was Liverpool 3, Crystal Palace 0.
Yeah, when I saw the team, I was a bit confused. Obviously, both main fullbacks not in the lineup.
Yeah.
But it was a solid performance from Liverpool in the end. Obviously, Salah, a bit frustrating for him to take his shirt off because he scored against Palace.
Oh,
but
I know.
But a very good return for captainers, which will be, I imagine, most people listening right now, most people playing the game. If they haven't captained them, I'm sure they probably own him. A solid performance against what has been a very good Crystal Palace team as well.
Yeah, no, agreed. And we spoke about it pre-season. We said that, you know, if Salah's going to step up again, he needs to perform in the games that he's expected to. And he started the season with a bang, you know, 4 goals, 3 assists. He looks a man on a mission. And obviously Mane took his goal pretty well. Jota missed an absolute fucking howler. You know, what was it? 3 yards out, blazed it over the bar. I was raging, absolutely raging. But it didn't really matter because, you know, Liverpool just, they almost look like they've got the confidence of 2 seasons ago. And it might have taken, the shake-up of last season, to really like stir them back into motion for this one. Klopp's got a bit of drive there, saying like, look, guys, there is some real competition in the league. We've got to step it up, and they're doing so at the moment. I think defensively they look solid. Obviously Van Dijk's back, got himself three bonus clean sheet and an assist. If anyone's on him over the likes of Trent Robertson, fair play. 6.5 million, 16% owned. But yeah, he's what? So he's 33 points so far this season from five games. It's not bad. And given what I think it was this time last season when he was injured and out for the rest of the season. So I think Van Dijk's making a huge difference. And the fact that they can seemingly comfortably rotate who's next to him. So obviously Matip missed out this time. I think it was Konate that that came in. I think Gomez is back fit as well. So if Van Dijk's got consistent partners that don't necessarily have to be beaten game in, game out, and they can be rotated, that can only be a good thing for Liverpool.
Oh, definitely expect them to get a lot more clean sheets than last season, obviously with Van Dijk in the team. And I think there's less pressure because they've already kind of obviously lost the title last year. They didn't retain it, so I think that pressure's kind of gone. I think feel like they had a little bit of pressure as champions to try and retain the title, and obviously City were very hungry to come back into it. So
Agreed.
it's good to see them playing well again at the back.
Yeah, no, for sure. And then obviously talking about Man City, that's the next game, and a game that you sneakily sat in the home end despite being an away fan. It was Man City nil, Saints nil, and I will let you talk about the game.
Yeah, I did. I sat down. Someone started speaking to me as well in the City end, asking me saying, "Oh, I bet most of these people don't know Mick Shannon." And there was another old guy as well from City down there. Don't know who they are. And I was thinking, I definitely know Mick Shannon. It's he's like, oh dear. But obviously that would have given me away as a Saints fan. So I was just like, yeah, whatever.
Keep the mouth shut.
Yeah, no. So impressive us in the first half. It was hard to keep myself sat down
Yeah, I bet.
and quiet. But you know, we were attacking. They were moaning and groaning in the City end because
Good.
they weren't playing well at all, and we were taking the game to them. We were getting quite a few corners, quite a few counter attacks. We were bursting forward. Elyounoussi looked quite decent, better than what I remember anyway from a
He's
few seasons ago.
impressed me in the home games that I've seen him so far, and I can see why Hasenhüttl is sticking with him, because obviously Gineppo missed out this time, didn't he? But Elyounoussi stayed in that team.
Yeah, looked very good, and obviously I was very impressed with a certain 4.1. I think he's now 4.2
4.2
defender,
last night, yeah.
Livramento. Oh, the
Such a good
pace! He
player.
just knocks it past anyone and bombs down the wing. He's a real talent, and it was great to see him in the flesh, and not just his like pace, but also his like passing, his link-up play. Just a very good player. It's like watching like a sort of a top eight fullback, to be
No,
honest.
that's exactly the impression I've had watching him at home. I think he's been incredibly unlucky not to pick up any attack in return so far this season, because he's consistently putting himself up there, isn't he, and whipping balls into the box, trying to drive at defenders. And yeah, to have no attack in return so far, I think it's unfortunate. But obviously, our fixtures turn for the better come game week 8. I think it's only a matter of time before we see a 10 to 15 point hole from this kid.
Yeah, I think it's gonna come. I think assists are definitely likely. He may even pop up with a goal if he just keeps going down that wing. But yeah, very impressive us in the first half, and we weren't bad in the second. We did obviously have to defend a bit more as our City brought on the big guns. They brought on KDB, Mahrez,
Foden.
Foden. Yeah, just. I was going to say, not really anyone played well from City, but one player I think did, and that was Grealish.
Okay.
Grealish was always trying to make things happen. His passing was good. He had a lot of energy. He wanted to get the team going, but the rest of the team's passing was pretty sloppy. And I think Romeo in the middle made it hard for them.
Yeah,
He had
he
a very
definitely
good
had one
game.
of his better games, and the fact that he didn't pick up an early booking probably made a big difference, because I think it was in our previous game against West Ham at home, he picked up a booking very early on, And he was so tentative in the way that he approached the game from then on. And eventually he was substituted. But yeah, it was great to see him getting stuck in, but not kind of overstep the mark. I guess the big talking point in this one was the penalty that then wasn't a penalty. What did you make of it being in the ground?
Yeah, I was quite far away, but to my eyes, like, it looked like a penalty. Like, you could see the contact was made. You could, it just looked like a pen. Like, the City fans around me were worried. They thought that was a pen. They were quite surprised when, like, VAR
It's frustrating.
It.
I genuinely,
as was I.
Yeah, I
genuinely. The longer it goes on in the ground, the more you think, right, they're going to overturn it.
Yeah.
Because why would they keep watching it?
Exactly. It's frustrating. But I genuinely think the only reason VAR have encouraged the referee to overturn it, and that's maybe, you know, just kind of convinced him when he's gone over to the monitor, is the fact that he showed Walker the red card. So he got that decision wrong because it's double jeopardy. And at the end of the day, and it's not a red card, it's a bookable offence. Yeah, sure. Give the pen. If that's the case and it's a yellow and a penalty, I genuinely think they don't look at that. But because he's sent Walker off for what would be, you know, serious foul play or whatnot, it's at that point VAR have gone, hold on a minute, this isn't a red card. Like, we need to look at this. And I genuinely believe he's overturned the penalty because he's done the red card. Why can't he just change his red to a yellow, but it's still a pen? Because surely they're allowed to do that under VAR.
Perhaps, but I have seen some pundits or some people saying that they thought it wasn't a penalty. So maybe. I mean, we've seen stranger decisions that have been made with VAR, yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, annoyingly, I've been quite impressed with VAR this season up until this weekend. And I think there's been some controversial decisions that have, you know, gone kind of the wrong way. For instance, you know, that Leeds-Newcastle game, I think Leeds should have had a penalty. In the Wolves-Brentford game, there was VAR controversy. I think rightly Tony's goal was ruled out, you know, for handball that led to him scoring. But there have been moments of VAR this season or this weekend that I just haven't agreed with. Moving on then to a game of what you probably believe would be teams that are fighting towards the bottom end of the table, but Watford were incredibly impressive, and Ismaïla Sarr, you know, kind of really stood out. It was Norwich 1, Watford 3.
Yeah, fair play to anyone that held on to Sarr. He scored in the first game week, but then blanked in 2, 3 and 4, only to then get this 15-pointer. Yeah. Two goals, free bonus. He's a very good player, and obviously it was a good fixture for him. And arguably they've got another good fixture next, which is Newcastle at home.
Yeah.
So if you're... Obviously, you're not going to sell him after that performance, but it's maybe not even too late to hop onto him because he's quite cheap. Yeah. 6.1 million.
Agreed, yeah. I mean, if we hear on Friday that Rafinha, for instance, is ruled out, I think Rafinha to Sarr will be a very popular move if you don't already own Sarr for this weekend.
Yeah, you could even do it as a one-week punt, like, yeah, Rafinha to Sarr and then move Sarr back onto someone else if you don't fancy his fixtures. But to be honest, even I think they've got Leeds after Newcastle. I mean, there's always goals in games against Leeds. Yeah. So Sarr could easily do them on the counter.
Yeah, they could, 100%. And then another player that I've been impressed with, and again, for those that are looking to wildcard, but maybe trying to find a way of getting two premium forwards, Emmanuel Dennis might be the player that you look at. You know, was it 5.2 million? Has started every game so far, got himself another goal. This 5.2 million is incredible value for a forward that is consistently playing.
Yeah, no, it really is. Enough for your dad to bring him in.
Oh, I know, yeah, I noticed he had probably won a wild card.
I was like, oh, he's just seen that first game week performance and chucked him in.
Yeah.
And then credit to your dad, he's gone and got another one.
Gets himself a goal. I know, it's not bad at all. And then obviously,
Norwich.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Timo Pukki got himself a goal, but I think Norwich really struggled. And is it five losses on the bounce now? It's not particularly great. I think this is going to really sum up their season. I think it's going to be a real struggle. Everton next, I think it's going to be a tough game. The likes of Burnley, Brighton, you know, 7 and 8, and then they've got Brentford 11, Newcastle 14. It's the games they're going to have to win, and I can't see them in the performance that they're putting in at the moment. I really can't see them doing so.
No, I mean, if they're going to lose 3-1 to at home to Watford, then they're really going to struggle. I think these are the sort of games they need to be getting something out of.
Yeah,
winning.
It's not great. Not great. At all. And then the last game on the Saturday was quite a surprising result, to be honest, but more so because we found out that Everton were missing three or four key players. You know, Pickford, Richarlison, both missing. Villa ended up routing it. It was Aston Villa 3-0.
Now, I didn't actually see the game, but I checked the score to be rather confused at it being 3-0 to Villa. Obviously, I did know about the team, but owning Luka Dinya to see my clean sheet's gone is one thing. But then to then look at the scorers and see he scored an own goal was just, just fuming.
It was a beautiful minus one.
Oh, I'd love to take him straight out of my team, but they're playing Norwich next, and that just feels like a 12-pointer waiting to happen.
Yeah.
So, I look forward to collecting his 2 points next week and then rage transferring him out.
Oh, dear, yeah. But I thought from the highlights I've seen, Villa were particularly impressive. I've seen Matty Cash got himself his goal, finally. Danny Ings, once again, getting himself an assist. Bailey, you know, came on, scored, got an assist. Went back off injured. I think it was precautionary, but he got a goal and assist and a man in the match in 20 minutes.
I mean, that's obviously very impressive. You can't really argue with that.
It's not bad at all. I think Villa fans are crying out to see their kind of 3-4 best players on the pitch all at once. You know, Buendia, Bailey, Ings and Watkins, who I think's really, you know, hasn't really been spoken about so far this season with his injury and then Villa's fixtures. But yeah, if you can get those four fit and firing on the pitch at the same time, I think this Villa team are certainly going to go places, at least in terms of going forward.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it, to be honest, them all on the pitch at the same time.
Yeah, whereas I think Everton's probably not a lot to talk about other than the fact that they've been belted with injuries at the moment. You know, DCL, Pickford, Richarlison, all three of those missing out are massive. And I think until they come back, we may well see them struggle. Obviously, they've got Norwich at home. Surely they have to be winning that even with, you know, some second string players. But Man United and West Ham after that, they're not easy games. And without those three, I think they're going to struggle.
No, I agreed.
All right, and then moving on to the first game on the Sunday. And again, I think VAR did not have its finest moment in this game. It was Brighton 2. Leicester 1.
I didn't really expect Brighton to win this game, if I'm honest. I didn't expect them to get turned over by any means, but very surprised to see them pick up the 3 points. Mopay, another goal for him. That's his third of the season.
Yeah, took his pen really well.
Yeah, he's on pens, which is obviously appealing. Similar price points of obviously Tony on there, who's also on pens, but this Brighton team are doing so well that they're actually third in the table at one point.
I know, yeah. I think they're, are they still top four? Are they fourth or fifth now?
I think they're fourth. Yeah. I think potentially fifth, but I think
it's not
fourth.
A bad start at all, but that penalty wasn't a penalty. Yeah, it's been given for Vestergaard handball, but the VAR have looked at the handball and thought, oh, we'll double check to make sure he has handballed it, and he has. They haven't checked the foul, but Mopay is holding down Vestergaard. Like the reason he's gone up the way he's gone up is because Mopay pulling him down. So,
yeah, they've been so focused on that handball that they've just completely ignored the fact that he's getting tugged down. Exactly. You can see him going down.
It wasn't great. And then Leicester also had a goal ruled out for offside. You know, Harvey Barnes was, I suppose, in the eye line of the goalkeeper, but it's dubious. And I think, Leicester probably rightly feel hard done by in this game.
Have you got rid of Barnes?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I was just going to make fun of you if you still had him.
I took Barnes out for Rafinha this week. So that
that was it, yeah. Good transfer, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all. I think Leicester-wise, though, I'm very surprised that we haven't seen Iheanacho or Daka start alongside Vardy yet.
No, and that makes Vardy all the more appealing, because at the start of the season we were saying, oh, we're not sure, he might get rotated a bit, he might drop to the bench, but that isn't really happening.
No.
So, and it won't happen, especially if Vardy keeps scoring. So maybe Vardy should be talked about a bit more.
I think so, yeah. And I mean, obviously, this isn't a Sky game, but I know you own Vardy and Sky, so you must have been
Do,
particularly pleased when he scored there.
yeah, very happy, yeah, very relieved, because obviously there was like other options you could go to, Ronaldo and so on.
Agreed, yeah. And then just shout out for the old 4.3 million defender Shane Duffy. Obviously, gets himself an FPL assist that wasn't awarded in Sky, but yeah, for those 21% of ownership. Another pretty decent return, and yeah, they probably found themselves quite unfortunate not to keep the clean sheet as well.
Yeah, that would have been loads, huge amounts of
I know.
points for that,
Would have been,
for a
yeah,
4.3 man player.
100%.
Yeah.
Right, second last game of the weekend. Another Man United game, another Ronaldo goal. It was West Ham 1, Man United 2.
Yeah, could have been even more for Cristiano Ronaldo. Obviously, had a couple of penalty appeals,
Yeah, at least
both
one of
turned
those should have
down.
been given. Oh.
I think the one with Zouma should have been given.
I think the
It's a
one with
shame
Soufal
that.
should have been given as well, to be fair.
Yeah, it's a shame that it wasn't given, but fair enough. Obviously, Jesse Lingard back
Yeah.
at Man United,
So
and then
I
scores.
was going to say, came on to try and win the game, and win the game he did. But almost wasn't the winning goal because West Ham. Given a penalty, basically the last kick of the game, and then David Moyes thinks, ah, you know what I'm going to do? Yeah, I'm going to make a big decision here. I'm going to bring Mark Noble on to take the pen, and I guess I understand his logic. I think he's scored what 10, 15 pen.
Scored all of
He
them,
scored all
yeah,
of the pens he's taken
previously,
for
yeah.
West Ham, exactly, but to not have been a part of that game at all, and to then come on to take the penalty, it's huge pressure. He's not been involved in like. How frantic it's been, the emotions of it, and it's such a shit penalty. Like, it's so easy for
It
David
is.
De Gea. And David De Gea is a man that we've all questioned can't save a penalty. And, this one, piece of piss. He's just given him David De Gea a bit of confidence, spurring him on now. Ah, it's just West Ham fans
Very,
must have been
yeah,
fucking hanging their heads.
very, very tame. And then I was laughing at like sort of the memes, like saying about how confident he was walking onto the
Yeah, oh,
pitch.
he was
Like,
swagging away. He's like, here we go.
he's like, right, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna score. Like, he did look confident, and then just terrible penalty. And then obviously, put his hands over his head.
Yeah. That
Yeah,
wasn't great.
you got a feel for them, but I guess overall, maybe United deserve the points.
Yeah, I think just about. Had Antonio played, I think it was maybe a different story. But,
Yeah.
Benrahma got his goal. Very, very fortunate goal
Yeah,
off of
turned into
Varane there.
10 points.
Yeah, it did. I mean, I was buzzing because, again, during the game week, we had heard that Benrahma had actually picked up a knock, midweek in the Europa League and wasn't going to feature. And then suddenly he's pictured in training on Saturday. He's travelled with the squad and then he plays and gets a goal. So it just shows kind of all these rumours. Had those rumours come out before the deadline, a lot of people probably would have either benched or got rid of Benrahma, thinking, oh, well, that's it. He's missing out against Man United. There's no point. And then, yeah, you're missing out on 10 points.
Yeah, exactly. I was very tempted to sort of look into the rumours, but just held firm. And obviously, he paid everyone off.
Did, yeah. And then finally, a game in which I thought Spurs started pretty well, to be fair, but then Chelsea just showed how good they are this season. Spurs nil, Chelsea 3.
Yeah, very, very impressed with Chelsea in this one. It's their defenders again that are killing it in terms of the points. Rudiger, very impressive. Great goal for a centre back.
Yeah.
Just hits it right into the corner from just outside the box. Not really a centre back's type of goal. Like, you imagine them sort of getting a scruffy tap in from a corner or a header from a corner. But that's a good goal, a good strike on him. So, one to be looking at. And obviously, Alonso keeps starting game after game after
I
game.
know, yeah, and keeps
And
returning.
yeah, he's got an assist and obviously a clean sheet, a bonus point as well.
Yeah,
And
10-pointer.
it's hard to ignore him, because I can't see Chilwell coming back into the team. Why would you, when Alonso's playing so well and the system's working?
Exactly. Yeah, it would be questionable to change that now. it's always going to be in the back of my mind, he could potentially get rotated. But is this going to be a similar situation to, for instance, was it Justin last season?
Justin,
Yeah, when obviously we were adamant that
out.
Pereira was going to come back in, so we're not going to get Justin. And Pereira never came back in for a long, long time. And this could be a very similar situation that 5.8 million, Chelsea's fixtures are about to swing after City to five in a row that look just glorious, like clean sheet after clean sheet you'd expect. Is Alonso just, you know, the one that we should be moving to? Or would you be safer going someone like Rudiger, 0.3 million cheaper, but maybe unlikely to pick up as many attacking returns as Alonso could?
Yeah, I think Rudiger's the safer pick, but I think the reward is there potentially by going for Alonso.
Yeah.
The assists, the goals, like he's not shy at shooting, as we've seen from previous seasons. So I think as long as you're getting a Chelsea defender that's going to play most of the games, which is Rudiger or Alonso, you're going to be all right.
Agreed, yeah. And then incredibly unfortunate for Mendy owners, obviously out with a knock after the Champions League game. So Kepa came in. I can't imagine that Mendy will be out for too long. So when he's back, he'll inevitably take that spot back. As for Spurs, honestly, I don't think there's a lot to talk about them. I didn't think they were that impressive at all. Kane was anonymous. Son didn't really get himself into the game despite, you know, starting again. And if it wasn't for Hugo Lloris, it could have been even more for Chelsea.
Yeah, Kane's not looking the player he was last season. I don't know if he's been affected by, obviously, the move falling through, not getting his move to City. But having, obviously, Ronaldo at the same price point, if anyone's still on Kane and not on Ronaldo, then that move's waiting to happen.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, obviously, North London derby this weekend. If anyone's going to score in that, it usually is Harry Kane. I think he scored 11 times in the North London derby. But if he's going to kickstart a season, surely it has to be this game.
I think so. I mean, a maverick pick would be to bring him in and captain him.
It would be.
Maybe
this.
That's a, maybe
it's a brave man.
It is. And it's not me.
Not me at all.
I'm not doing that.
No. Right. Should we quickly touch on how we did this game week then?
Yeah. So for me, I took a 4-point hit, which completely didn't pay off. I got 59 points, 24 of those belonging to Salah, 10 to Benarama, Ben Wright return for 7 points, Ronaldo on 6, and the main thing that pissed me off being Digne on -1.
Ouch. So what's your overall rank at the moment?
If you must, it is just over 2 million, so 2,010,000.
Oh, James, you'll pull it back. Don't worry, I've got faith.
It's not pretty.
I need some challenge. So, I got 70 points this week, largely, you know, down to Salah captaincy, Rafinha, Benrahma returns, and then Bamford and Ronaldo returns. But yeah, I've had a good start. I really hope I don't fuck it up, but I'm likely to. 397 points, I'm sat at 18K. So I don't think I've ever been this high this early in a season. But like I said on Twitter, I'm very likely to make some terrible decisions, fuck it up, and come game week 38, I'll be about 150K again. So,
I mean, yeah, you're in a great position at the moment, so we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, exactly. Right, well, I think that's that then, mate. You know, we've rambled on for quite some time. There's some stunning fixtures coming up for this weekend, and I can't wait to discuss them next week. But until then, it's a goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Cheers, guys.